Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
John chapter 20, and we'll begin reading with verse 11 this morning. John chapter 20 and verse 11. The Bible says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned her back, and turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen and what she had seen, and that it was the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Mary Magdalene, she is a very impressive person. The Lord could have worked through anyone. The Lord could have chosen anyone to have delivered this message. Yet, he chose this woman. So what do you really know about Mary Magdalene? What does the Scriptures tell us about who she was and who she is? Do you realize the Lord cast out 7 evil spirits from this woman? 7. She was a very wicked person. She was a very evil person. She was a definition of someone who was living as far away from God as a person could live. Yet the Lord cast all of that out of her. Not only that, she was healed of her infirmities. She had a lot of physical problems. And God healed those. The Lord healed every one of those as well. Jesus made her whole. Beyond all of this, beyond all of the physical healing, beyond all of the casting out of the evil spirits, Mary Magdalene was born again. She was saved. She had her sins forgiven. She was given a new life. And she made the best of it. She followed Jesus daily. Wherever Jesus went, Mary Magdalene went, along with other women. She wasn't the only one, but there were many other women there that traveled with Jesus, just as there were many men that traveled with Jesus. And they traveled with Him because they loved Him, because they wanted Him in their life. They wanted to be a part of what He was doing. They wanted to watch, and they wanted to meet with the people, and they wanted to be ministers. You see, her life was begun fresh and new. Her life was full of love and full of spirit. The right kind of spirit. And that's something that's important. When you find someone who is in love with Jesus, when you find someone that is walking close with Jesus, You're going to find someone that is full of love, and they're full of the Spirit. They're full of enthusiasm for Christ. They want to share Him. They want others to know, because they want others to have what they have. They want other people to have burning inside of their heart, inside of their life, what they have burning inside of theirs. That personal relationship and that close walk. What we see from Mary Magdalene is, regardless of our past, it doesn't matter how wicked we may have been. It doesn't matter how good and moral we may have been. Until we are born again of Jesus Christ, we are all condemned to the same hell. That may be difficult for some to understand this morning. And it may be difficult for some of you to understand and even grasp. But it is true according to the Bible, according to God's Word, and I have no reason to doubt it. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by anything we do, not by anything we give, not by anything we become of ourselves. We can be the most moral person that's ever walked the face of the earth. We can be full of integrity as people see integrity. We can be giving and we can be the contributing to others as life sees fit. But if we're not saved, it is all for naught. You see, we need to be doing all of this and more as given direction by God through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. That's what happened to Mary Magdalene. Often we hear of the worst in people. We hear of those people who are struggling. We hear of those people who are murderers. We hear of those who live wicked lives, and we see those and we think, my goodness, there's someone who needs to be saved. There's someone who needs to be right with God. And how true that is. But there are just as many of us who have never lived that life, never walked that road, and we need to be right with God also. Mary Magdalene is an example for all of us to look at. And like Mary, we often miss the presence of the Lord when it is so obvious. We've seen that from our Scripture. He was standing at the entrance of the sepulcher with her. And even though she had spent years with Him, she didn't recognize Him. And the easy thing for us to say is, well, Jesus disguised Himself in order to create this perception. We have no indication of that. Mary was so taken back with the idea that someone else had taken Jesus. She had lost the reality that Jesus had said He would rise again. On the third day He would rise. And Mary Magdalene, like the other disciples, had lost that perspective in her life. And she automatically thought that someone else had taken Jesus. And when Jesus was standing there, right in the midst of her, she did not recognize Him. How many times in our life have we been in a circumstance or a situation that was so traumatic that we had the presence of God standing before us and we did not recognize Him? How many times has Jesus been trying to reach us and speak to us when we have been struggling, when we've been hurting, when we've had questions, when we have had doubts, but yet we haven't seen Him? Because we're looking in the wrong places. We're looking for the wrong Jesus. When we are looking with the wrong purpose. Three things I want to share with you this morning out of this passage that I hope will help you. That I hope will help give you a biblical perspective on Jesus in your life from Mary's experience. And maybe that can apply to you in some way, shape, form, or fashion. If not today, hold on to this passage, because the day will come when you will need it. You will need to be able to come back and understand Mary Magdalene and how her life reflects into yours. First, we need to recognize Mary's sorrow. Mary was heartbroken. Mary had witnessed the crucifixion of Christ. Mary had saw Him in His beaten, bloody, and bruised body, carrying a cross down the Via Dolorosa, being mocked, being spit upon. Everything that had done to Christ, she saw it, she witnessed it. She was still traumatized of it. She was sorrowful to see Him, His body, taken down from the cross, and to know that He had been taken to this tomb. And she went there with others to continue ministering to the body of Christ. She was going there with others to take care of Him, to bring spices and herbs and continue the Jewish burial process. The only thing, when they got there, the stone was rolled away and there was no one there. There was nothing there but the burial cloths. And they had convinced themselves that someone had taken Jesus. Someone had done something. Now, how many times in your life have you been struggling with something? Have you been hurting? You've been heartbroken? You've been sorrowful? And you're asking, where is God? Where is He? But yet we don't take the opportunity to look closely at what He says in His Word, or we would realize that God is present. God is present through the struggling. God is present through the difficulties. God is present in everything that we face and everything that is going on. The sorrow that comes out of the shooting in Florida. Those children, those innocent children. How can God allow it? Why didn't God stop it? You know, I can't speak for God. But I can say this according to His Word. He was present there with each one of those children. He was present when everything was going down and the worst and the horror was unfolding. With every squeeze of the trigger, every shot that was fired, God was present. He was there in His grace and in His mercy. God was there in each one of those lives. The adults and the children as well. When difficulty touches your life, whether it is sickness, maybe it's that bad doctor's report. Maybe it is the bad job report. Whatever it may be, when that tragedy hits, instead of asking, where is God, ask, where do I find God? Because He is there somewhere. He may be standing right behind you. And because of the trauma, because of the sorrow, because of everything that is going on and taking place in your life, you're not able to find Him. You're not able to see Him. If we look for God on His terms, not ours, we will find Him. If Mary had been looking for Jesus on His terms as a resurrected Lord and Savior instead of on her terms, Mary would have saw Him. Jesus would not have had to have interrupted. Jesus would not have had to have called her and said, Mary, here I am. She would have seen her Lord. She would have seen her Savior. He didn't hide anything from them. Jesus told them plainly, On the third day, I will rise again. I will be crucified. I will be killed. And on the third day, I will rise again. And it came to pass. They had a picture of a different Jesus. They had a picture of a different Lord, a picture of a different Savior. Too often, we get one of those different pictures ourselves. We want to build up a Savior. We want to create our own. Like it is some type of a Lego set or something like that. where we can build our own to suit our needs. There was only one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and He came with a purpose. He came with God's purpose to redeem and to save the souls of humanity and mankind. And that is what He accomplished on the cross. That is what He calls each one of us to today. So yes, we are going to have sorrows in our life. We are going to have problems, and we are going to have difficulties. We are going to have struggles. There are going to be things come upon us in life that we don't understand, things that we cannot explain, but all of those, if we look for God according to His purpose and according to His Word through His Son, Jesus Christ, we can find Him in every one of those situations and in every one of those circumstances. But then we realize we see something else with Mary. We see her strength. You see, the child of God has got strength. We may not use it during every situation and circumstance, but we have strength. Her love in the midst of grief did not wait for anything spiritual, emotional, or physical. Love fueled her strength. What fuels your strength? I know a lot of people who are very strong physically because they work out. I know a lot of people that are very strong intellectually because they study and they apply themselves academically. I know a lot of people that have strength and are super strong in different areas. But let me ask you something. What fuels your strength? Mary's was fueled with love. The Christian ought to be fueled, and their strength ought to be fueled with love this morning. Not love for themselves, not love necessarily for their family, not love just physically, and not love that is placed out there. We have to have those loves. But they have to be fueled, and they have to come from the love of God that is burning inside of our life. We need to love Jesus more than we love anything. If we're going to love our spouse properly, we have to love Jesus first. If we're going to love our children properly, we need to love Jesus first. If we're going to love our church, and if we're going to love our church family properly, we need to love Jesus first. That love needs to be first and foremost in our life. Mary had some problems. Mary had some faults that came up with her sorrows. Mary had some imperfections, and we're going to cover those in just a moment. But one thing Mary didn't have, she did not struggle from a lack of love. She had a love that was built into her heart and to her life that was the result of the moving and the working of Jesus Christ. And if you're saved this morning, you understand what I'm talking about. And let me say this. Just because you understand it and because you have it doesn't mean you're practicing it. You can have the love of God working and churning inside of your heart and life, but you can choose to put it on a back burner. You can choose to have something else be prominent in your life, something else to be a priority. Well, this morning I want to challenge you to get the love of Christ back on the front burner in your heart and in your life. I want to challenge you to come to the Lord and renew that love to the Lord Jesus Christ today and find in your life the strength that Mary had in her life. I want to challenge you today to look for the love of Christ in your heart and life and to renew it and to cling to it and to hold on to it and to let it speak to you and to let it work through you. We can have program after program. We can memorize Bible verse after Bible verse. We can go down the road to rituals and ceremonies and creeds and all of these other things. And I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with them. But if we fall in love with those things and we put them first and foremost in our life, where does Jesus wind up? Where does He wind up? Where is His work wind up at in our life? Where is the testimony of Christ in our life? It is that testimony, it is that work, it is that movement in our life that we must cling to, that we must have first and foremost. If we're not in love with Jesus, the programs don't matter. They will not be accomplishing anything because God won't be in them. If we don't have the love of Christ in our life, any ritual or any ceremony that we participate in will be nothing more than a mere formality. Without the love of Christ, it's all for naught. So this morning, take hold of the love of Christ as Mary did, and let it be your strength. Let it be a priority in your life, so that Christ can take up the proper place in your life, so that you can be an instrument for doing His work and doing His will. If you remember the last verse we read, verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things unto her. He did what she asked. She did what He asked. Are we willing today to do what the Lord asked? Do we love Him enough to come to Him and to ask Him what He needs and what He wants in our life? Well, I said there were some imperfections in Mary's faith, and there were. She desired and dwelt too much on the outward Christ. She looked too much on the outward Jesus. When Jesus said, "Touch me not," have you ever wondered what that meant? What Jesus meant when He said, "Don't touch me"? Well, when we go to a study, a word study of that, we find out Jesus is saying, "Don't cling to me." Jesus is saying, this time's not going to be like it was before the cross, where you and everyone followed me, and I done everything, and you stood there and ooh and the ah. Jesus was saying, it's not going to be that way. The relationship has changed. When Jesus said, "Touch me not," He said, "Our relationship has changed, Mary. My relationship with all of my disciples have changed, Mary. Go tell them. Go tell them I'm not ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them." Do you realize this is the first time that Jesus used the word brethren in relationship to His disciples? Now in His teachings, He talked about the brethren inside the disciples themselves between each other. He talked about the brethren as a relationship to others that are following and others and other disciples. But this is the first time that Jesus has said, "You are my brethren." The very first time He said, "You are my brethren." It signifies a different relationship than what He had previously. Our faith in Christ is an ever-growing relationship. It's an ever-growing relationship with Christ. It's an ever-growing relationship with other Christians. It is an ever-growing relationship with our spouses and with our families. Our relationship with Christ is ever growing and ever developing. It's never going to be completed this side of eternity. Our relationship with Christ will not be completed until we are fully sanctified and we're standing in glory and we're looking at Him in that sanctified body and in that sanctified place. She couldn't touch Him because she couldn't relate to Him in the same way she did before. The most difficult thing is to, in her case and in ours too, is to set aside outward religion. It is to set aside the things that really don't matter to God and pick up those things that are important. Now, we have a worship service. We have to have some structure. We can't just come in here every Sunday morning and just say, "Oh, well, what am I going to do? I think I'm going to do this and I think I'm going to do that." There has to be preparation. How would you feel if I did not prepare to preach anything on Sunday morning? Nothing. I didn't open my Bible until next Sunday morning. And then I came in and I opened it and I said, okay, I think we're going to go here. There needs to be structure and organization to what we do, but there needs to be a purpose in it. Otherwise, the imperfections are going to take over and there is going to be no testimony of the power of God in our lives. There's going to be no testimony of the power of God in our services. There's going to be no testimony of the power of God in the church. Mary's imperfections in her faith were obvious, but Mary was a person whose love was strong enough to correct them. Do we love God enough this morning to ask Him to reveal to us where we're failing Him? And do we love Him enough to take that realization when we see it and when we know it and to fix it? Mary did. That's the example that she has. It's not about who she was. It's about who God was working in her life. And it's about what God was doing through her life and the person that God was making her into for His service. Because we all have that calling and we all have that service. Does eternity open up to you when you sing? When you sing the songs out of the hymn book, is it just something you do? Or do you see the presence of the Lord in the songs that you sing? When you open your Bible, and you read the words of your Bible, are they just words? Or do you see God? Do you see them as the Word of God speaking to you personally? When you pray, is it just something that you do? Is it a wish list that you go down before God? Or is it something that you come before the throne of grace and you really and truly desire to reach it and have God experience your pain and you experience His presence? When you gather around the Lord's table, whether it's a spiritual table or whether it is a table of the Lord's Supper, do you see an unseen presence of Jesus Christ and His sacrificial love? When we take the Lord's Supper and you take that juice and that bread and you hear the words of the Bible and they describe what they are, do you see the sacrifice of Christ? And does that sacrifice speak to your love for Him? Does it speak to the imperfections that He's working out in your life? I hope so. Because when we look at Mary Magdalene, we do see ourselves. We see ourselves and we see others. We see a picture of humanity. And it isn't about whether we want to be that or whether we don't want to be that. It is a matter of God showing and revealing to us where we're coming short and falling short. What we need to be doing. Where our love needs to be focused. How we handle our sorrows and the difficulties in our life. Do you get that from God today? Do you see yourself in Mary Magdalene? I want to ask our musicians to come and give us a hymn of closing this morning and a hymn of invitation. And as they do, I want you to think about Mary Magdalene. And I ask that you think about yourself. And think about what the Lord would have you to do regarding your life and regarding your purpose. Regarding what He has called you to do. Do you find God honestly and truthfully in the sorrows that you're faced with? Do you find Christ, the real Christ? Or are you busy looking for the one you want to see? Do you have the love of Mary and you find your strength in that love? How about your imperfections? Is the Lord revealing to you your imperfections? And is He revealing to you what it's going to take to fix them? I think He is. I think He's revealing all of that and more to each one of us this morning. So this morning, as we sing and as we close this service, I want to invite you, if God's dealing with your heart, you're welcome to come forward and do business with Him. Maybe you have questions. I will be here after the service is over for a while. We can talk. But in either case, let the picture and the illustration of Mary Magdalene work and move in your life to bring you closer to Jesus. So as we sing this morning, if God's dealing with your life, will you come?